Turn with me, if you would, tonight, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. I preached on Sunday evening. I preached the message on Let Us Come Near. And I was in my study this afternoon looking over some verses of Scripture and trying to find direction for the Lord, from the Lord for this afternoon, just to give you a thought or two, just something to be an encouragement and a help to us. And I was thinking on that Let Us. And that little phrase there, let us come near. And so I was reading some scripture, and another one popped off the page at me. And I found it, in the book of Hebrews also. And there's more let us. So I might be sharing some let us things here with you from scripture. Let us come near was Sunday nights. And then tonight's going to be let us labor from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4, if you turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn there. And I want to read verses 1 through verse number 11 and Hebrews chapter number 4. The Bible says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, I know you've probably read this, but stay with me, because I want to share something with you tonight. I hope it'll spike your interest. I hope it'll entice you to read and study the Word of God and to dig a little deeper and get some nuggets from it, because this is it's good stuff. Amen. Verse number 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. And in this place again, they shall enter into my rest. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Here's my text verse. Here's our let us, okay? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege you give us tonight, Lord, to gather around the precious Word of God. Thank you for all those that's tuned in. I pray, God, you illuminate my mind, guard my lips, help me to say only that's needful and necessary in this time, Lord, that we have together. Have your will and way in all that's said, all that's done. Well, thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, as we study the Word of God, y'all know that I like to do word studies. And sometimes I'll pick a word. And so I picked a word. And it's not us this time. Let us is the phrase. Let us labor. Let us draw near. Let us labor. And we look in verse number 1, it says, let us therefore fear. Now, I'm not going to deal with that part of the verse in the let us, but I want to deal with that third word there. It's called therefore. All right? We find that mentioned a couple of times in this passage of Scripture. Therefore. Verse number 9, the Bible says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And then the verse number 11, let us labor therefore. So, I looked up the little word, therefore. What does it mean? What does that word, therefore, mean? Well, therefore means for this or that reason. The word, therefore, means for this or that reason, referring to something previously stated. Okay, so whenever we read the Word of God and we see the word, therefore, we refer back to what was recently or just previously stated. All right? Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And so if we want to understand the therefore in verse number 1, we go back to what was previously stated in verse number 3. So we see that, verse number 19 of chapter 3, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So if you go back and read that chapter, you'll find more of the situation of unbelief. So we come into chapter 4. Let us, therefore, fear, unless we also fall short or come short of entering into the rest, God's rest. All right? You got that? Good. I'm glad you got that. So the word therefore means it to refer back to something. What is it there for? Why is the word therefore there for? What's it there for? Okay? You got it? All right. Don't try to confuse you. But it refers back to something, that's previously stated. There's an example for you. You remember the scripture where Jesus was calling folks to follow him, and one of the men said, I have a wife. One said, have death in the family, things like that. I have a wife, therefore I can't come to the supper. You remember he's bidding them to the supper. I have a wife, and therefore I can't come. I have a wife. The word therefore refers back to why he can't come. All right? He says, I can't come. He can't come because he has a wife. That makes sense? Hope you understand that. The word therefore refers back to something. I have married a wife, and therefore I can't come. I can't come because I have a wife. That's what the word therefore is there for. All right, moving on. Let us therefore labor, or let us labor therefore. There's a whole lot of meat in that little phrase or that little verse of Scripture. To labor, to enter into the rest, or that rest, in verse number 11. Notice it says, that rest. It doesn't say this rest or the rest, but it says that rest. And it's speaking of the rest that God created or instilled. Instilled is a good word. I like that word. Verse number 11 does not mean that salvation is difficult and must be earned or it must be kept. It means that the individual must give up their trust in everything other than Jesus Christ. When it talks about salvation, we enter into that rest. It's not that we're trying to work our way to salvation, but we not trusting in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's a lot of folks have to learn to give up things, such as their religious works, such as their own goodness. There's been folks that say, well, I'm good. I'm a good person. That doesn't get them saved. All right, so they have not entered into a rest. They're weary. They're restless, no doubt, because they don't have that peace and that calm. All right? Means that the individual must give up their trust in everything besides the Lord Jesus Christ, not try to work their way to it. The Jewish professors that Paul was writing to were in danger of dividing their trust between Christ and Judaism. So they're trying to add to their salvation, something extra, something like the religious works, like the Catholics do, the sacraments and things like that. They're trying to add to it. Faith in Christ puts everything else, faith in Christ plus anything else, is a false gospel. All right, y'all with me? Faith in Christ, and you add anything to that, it's a false gospel, all right? It's faith in Christ alone, nothing else. Absolute Christ alone can be nothing else. There's a lot of people who profess faith in Christ, but they're also trusting in their baptism. They're trusting in their church membership. They're trusting in their financial donations to the church. And they're trusting in, I know you've heard people say, well, I do the best I can. You're doing the best you can is not salvation. That's not saved. Amen. Doing the best we can doesn't get us there. Having a baptism certificate doesn't get us there. That doesn't get us saved. Having a church membership, well, we know this. We've talked about this many times before. That having a church membership, that don't mean you're saved. It has nothing to do with your salvation. All right? But there's a lot of people who profess faith in Christ. They know who he is, but yet they're also trusting in their baptism. Well, I've got a baptism certificate. I've heard people say that. You ask them about their salvation. Are you saved? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Well, I've been baptized. Well, what difference does that make? Amen? That doesn't make you saved just because you've been baptized. being baptized is a work after salvation. It's a thing that you do in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't make you saved. So there's a lot of people like that. They have all these excuses or all these things that they like to add to their profession. And so Paul is dealing with a group of professors who say that they're saved, but yet they're dividing their belief between the work of Christ, what he's done, and Judaism. All right? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. There are Hindus, there's Buddhists, there's Catholics that believe in Christ. You can talk to a Catholic and they'll tell you they believe in Christ. But they don't believe in the finished work of Christ. They believe in their sacraments and their rosary beads and all these other things that they do. All right? So they're idolatrous practices. I can't even talk tonight, so y'all pray for me. These people need to hear the warning of Hebrews that we have here in verse number 1. It says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to fall or to come short of it. There's a rest to God's people, all right? Now, we talked about this before, and hope that you get this. To labor to enter into that rest. That's what the scripture said in verse number 9. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Not to enter into salvation. All right? This is after that we're saved. We're not laboring. We're not striving to be saved. We don't work to be saved. We work because we're saved. Amen. All right? To labor to enter into that rest does not mean to labor to be saved, but to labor to enter the door of salvation. All right? Stay with me. Salvation is by grace without works, and we know that, by faith, all right? When someone has salvation, they rest in the finished work of Christ, in Christ alone. Not the fact that they got up from their seat and they walked to an altar. Not in the fact that they cried when they got to the altar. Those are emotions that people go through and say, oh, I cried, I got saved. Because you cried don't make you saved. Amen. It's in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely nothing else, all right? I know that there's a lot of independent Baptists, and now I don't apologize for saying this, but there's a lot of fundamental movements, and they encourage people to come to the altar, and they're not there 2 seconds, and they're going back to a seat, and they give them that false hope that because they got out of their seat and came to the altar, because they got up and moved, because they did something, that they're saved. That doesn't make them saved. Amen. There's a lot of people believing that they're saved because they got up, they walked to an altar, and someone wrote their name down on a card and said that they were saved. No way. Sorry doesn't work that way. Amen. All right? And so to be saved, it's not a works thing. Getting up out of your seat, walking to an altar, and let somebody write your name down on a card, that's works. You did that. You did something to try to get yourself into heaven. You cannot do that. Amen. We know that. All right? I'm going to move on before I get too preachy. Salvation is by grace without works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You boast about the things that you've done. You can't do that. It's about the finished work of Christ. All right? But the door to this salvation is a straight door. Stay with me. All right? Meaning that it's narrow, it's constricted. I'm going to read you some scripture. All right? Matthew chapter number 7. A very familiar passage of scripture. Matthew chapter number 7. Verse number 13, the Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate, narrow, constricted. All right? For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There's a many of people today that are going the broad way, trying to do all these things and add all this stuff to salvation when it's simply just faith in the finished work of Christ. Okay? All right. To enter this narrow door requires that the sinner judge. There has to be some, I don't want to use the word work, but there has to be some movement, I guess I could say, or there has to be something going on with the sinner. First, this is what they need to do. They need to judge themselves in repentance and realize that they are a sinner. Okay? They have to realize. That's, a good thing I can say there, that the sinner has to do some realization. They got to realize that they're a sinner and that they need to repent. So they need to judge themselves, not judge everybody else but themselves. and humble themselves in sorrow, have godly sorrow for their sins and for the fact that they are a sinner and they have sinned against God, and cast themselves entirely at the feet of Christ. Cast themselves on Jesus Christ and Him alone to save them. All right? Having rejected the broad way with all these other things added to it that leads to destruction. The scripture says that there was those that were preached the gospel was preached to them, and they did not hear it. All right? Go back to our verse of scriptures here. Verse number 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So there's the broad way. That's the many that's going to go that direction, and they're going to find themselves in a devil's hell. That's the way of destruction. So I'm saying all this tonight because it's vitally important that you and I understand and get a hold of this, that we labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. We're going to talk about that rest now, all right? Stay with me. Salvation in Christ alone is rest, right? Those who repent, put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're born again, don't have to fear losing their salvation. I don't fear that. I pray that you don't fear that. We don't have to fear that, because we rest in the finished work of Christ. Resting is the opposite of uncertainty. In our day, there's so much uncertainty. I mean, we're uncertain of what tomorrow holds. We're uncertain of what this virus is going to cause. There's so much uncertainty. But in your salvation, in my salvation, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Write that in your Bible right there. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no need to be uncertain of your salvation. We know without a shadow of a doubt that God's work was finished. Christ's work was finished. And we rest in that and nothing else in our salvation. So salvation is a rest, okay? It is the opposite of trying to save yourself when we rest in the finished work of Christ and the certainty of His work. The Old Testament Sabbath is a picture of the New Testament salvation, because both are complete rest from works. Watch your Bibles, all right? Stay with me. This is good stuff. You'll shout here in just a minute, or give me a thumbs up or something. I know you will. Verse number 4, the Bible says, for He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. Okay? All right? Y'all see that? Genesis chapter number 1, as we read that, we find, as we read through Genesis chapter number 1 in the beginning, that the Bible says, God said and God made. And the end was the first day. God said, God made, and the end, morning and the evening, was the second day. God made, God said, God made, and the morning and the evening was the third day. You with me? As you read through Genesis chapter 1, as God's creating creation, the world. All right? So we come to Genesis chapter 2, and verse number 2, this is what the Bible says. And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He hath made, and He rested on the seventh day from all of His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. So according to the book of Genesis, in the very beginning in creation, God rested from His work. All the other days, all the other 6 days, the Bible says the morning and evening was this day or that day. And those days was never, Moses never wrote that those days ended. All right? But the Bible did say, and it was pinned down, that on the seventh day, God rested. The seventh day was the end of the work, and God rested from all of His work. He rested on the seventh day because the work was over with. Creation was done. All right? It's over. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. All right, so here's another word study for you. The word wherefore. The word wherefore simply means why. Okay? It just simply means for what reason. Why? Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Well, why did he do that? Because his work was finished. His work was over with. There was nothing else to be done. Creation was done. God had created. God had finished. And he is resting on the seventh day. And that seventh day, he hallowed it. That means he sanctified it. He made it holy on the seventh day to rest. Now, I know a lot of times we use that and we draw from that to say that we're resting on the seventh day because the Bible says we're to rest on the Sabbath. And some people argue about Saturday being the Sabbath and Sunday being the Sabbath. And we ain't going to argue about that. We know that upon the first day of the week, we use that as our day of worship, and we worship on the first day of the week. We don't worship on the Sabbath. We worship on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Now, I don't want to get into all that and discuss all that. That's not part of my message. I'll get too deep, and I don't want to lose you. But I want you to understand with me that God sanctified that seventh day because his work had ended, and he rested on that seventh day, and he hallowed that seventh day, that rest day, that day of rest, because his work, listen now, listen close, because his work was finished and he rested and he hallowed that rest. And he says to the believer that has put their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are to rest, amen, in the Lord. Watch this now. Watch your Bibles. Seeing, therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. Verse number 8 says, if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. There's a rest. For he, verse number 10, for he that entereth into his rest, that sanctified, that holy, that set aside, hallowed rest, amen, he that enter into that, he also has ceased from his old works as God did from his. All right? Y'all with me on that? When it comes to our salvation, the Bible here, and Paul, I believe, is the author of Hebrews. We're not going to argue that. If you don't believe that, that's your prerogative. You don't have to. I believe it's Apostle Paul writing to the Hebrews. And he's dealing with these professors who is adding to all these things to their salvation, trying to add other works. And he's helping them as well as us to understand in our salvation, there is a rest. There remaineth a rest to God's people. As God finished his work on the sixth day and it ended and he rested the seventh day, that seventh day, that rest was hallowed, set aside, holy, sanctified. So you and I, whenever we are saved in Jesus Christ alone and nothing else, no works, nothing added to it, just Christ alone, you and I rest in that hallowed rest that God gives to his children. Hallelujah. There's no uncertainties. Resting is the opposite of uncertainties. Resting it's the opposite of trying to save yourself. Oh, what are we going to do in these days? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rest in the promises of God, in the hallowed promises of God, amen, the set-aside, sanctified rest that God's given me. You and I have that rest. There's no need to be weary. There's no need to be full of anxiety and no need for all these upsets and these wonders and frightening and fears and all these things that are emotional-led. Amen. We need to be spirit-led and understand that God said in his word, there is a rest, and you and I are to labor to enter into that rest. What does that mean? That means we're to study the word of God and pray and spend time with God, laboring to get a hold of, to understand that God has a plan for us, a purpose for us, and he wants us to rest in his finished work. Rest in the precious word of God and nothing else. Amen. All right? Salvation is to rest from our own works and put our trust solely in the work that Christ did on the cross and nothing else. Verse 10 there, the Bible says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works. So quit trying to figure everything out. Quit trying to help God. Amen. And just trust him. Just rest in our salvation that God has not appointed us unto wrath. God has saved us from our sins and God has promised to take care of us. Amen. And he rested from his works and he tells us to rest from our works. Quit trying to work your way into something. Quit worrying about everything. Just trust him. Amen. That's good stuff right there. God's Sabbath rest from creation had no end. All right? It started on the seventh day of creation and has never ended. Remember, he hallowed that day. All right? The scripture says there that wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So that day never ended. It started on that the God's Sabbath rest started on the seventh day of creation and has never ended. It is into this eternal rest that the believer enters. Verse number 3 of chapter 4 of Hebrews, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I swear into my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. You and I, according to verse number 3, which believe, do enter into this hallowed rest. That means there's peace in your soul. Here's what one commentator said. It is a rest not ending with the seventh day, but beginning then and continuing still, to which the believer shall hereafter enter. Hence Moses records the end of each of the first 6 days, but not of the seventh day. And so it's a continual thing. Once you're saved, you enter into a rest, and it's a continuing rest. It never ends. You're not saved today and rest and peaceful today and then lose it all tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. Once you're saved, you enter into God's rest, and it's eternal. You never lose it. Whoop, goes right there. Amen. Let us labor, therefore, meaning because of the finished work of God and the finished work of Christ, we are to work, to strive, to labor, to enter into that rest. The complete trust in the finished work. The rest of complete faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest that will calm the soul. The rest that will keep us from falling into unbelief and becoming apostate. If you don't truly trust the Word of God and enter into His rest and that rest and understand that, you can very easily be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, and you can become apostate. Apostate means turning from what you know to be truth, turning from the truth. All right? So we're to enter into that rest. Notice the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, very familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, come unto me, all you that labor. All right? All you that labor, trying to work your way in, trying to work your way to salvation, all you that labor, trying to get in, and are heavy laden, come unto me. What did Christ say? I will give you rest. All right? You trust in me, trust in what I've done. You don't need all that other stuff. Just trust in me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And I will, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest, that's eternal rest, under your souls. All right? So once we are saved, it's an eternal rest. No need to worry about losing our salvation. No need to worry about trying to do something to get in, to stay saved. You don't keep yourself saved, neither do you get yourself saved. Once we're saved and we believe in the finished work of Christ, amen, we enter into that eternal rest. And we're forever saved, hallelujah, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is writing to young Timothy. And he says this to young Timothy. And verse number 12, for this cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What is it that Paul committed unto him, being the Lord? What is it that Paul committed unto him? It was his very life, his very soul. Paul committed that unto the Lord. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. Amen? I am persuaded that he is able to keep that. Keep his soul. Keep his life. Amen. To keep that, that I have committed unto him against that day. He was resting in the eternal rest of God's promises. You and I have that. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Amen? That rest, that we don't have to try to keep ourselves saved. Listen, whenever I say that, don't think that I mean that we go out here and sin and do ungodly things. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. That's not what the Bible teaches. Amen? You can't drink beer just because you're saved and think you're going to get away with it. You can't go out and do drugs and everything else because you're saved. Paul dealt with that in the book of Romans. Said, God forbid, shall we sin? God forbid. We don't go out and habitually sin and do things that's wrong because we're saved. That's not the way that works. We don't do things because we are saved. We don't want to do those things. And we enter into that rest that God's got our soul. He's got our life in the palm of his hand and under control. And no need to worry about all that. I know with all the uncertainties of this life and all the uncertainties of our day, I know for sure whom I have believed. And I'm just, as the Apostle Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. And I have committed my soul unto the Lord. I believe in the finished work of Calvary. I believe in the finished work that God did create. Amen. God created the heavens and earth. I believe all that. I believe it was all created by a holy God. And I believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ and him alone. And I believe that. And that's why I'm saved. That's how I'm saved. I've repented toward God, asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Amen. And you and I can rest in the assurance that we are saved and God's going to take care of everything. Let us labor, all right? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Rest assured, lest we, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And so make sure that we've got it settled. Amen. Make sure that we are settled in our salvation. We're trusting nothing, no works, just Jesus Christ alone. That's what we base our salvation on. Someone said the other week that they was talking to someone about their salvation. And an individual said that they were saved. And they said, well, that's good. That's a wonderful thing. Here's where we fail as believers. Here's where we fail in our witnessing. And I'm just as gifted as everybody else, so I'm not being critical to you. But this is where most of God's people fail when it comes to our witnessing. When you ask somebody, do you know for sure if you're saved? They say, yeah, I'm saved. We stop there. We just take it, well, they're saved, and no need to continue that conversation. But there is a reason to continue that conversation, because a lot of people base their salvation on their works, their baptism, their church membership, and all that. But a lot of us don't want confrontation. We don't want to deal with that, so we leave that alone. There's been times whenever people have said that to me. This past week, I talked to some young men. And they all said they go to church. And I was amazed when they told me they went to church. I started asking questions. Because the things that had been coming out of their mouth before our conversation about church. I mean, they were just foul mouth. Not real foul, but I mean, they were saying ugly stuff. There was one of the guys that was just, I mean, he was of the devil. I mean, they just, anyway, his language was awful. But these other fellers, that guy left, thank the Lord. Because I'm glad he did. I didn't want to hear his mouth. I was going to have to get ugly. But anyway, he left. I didn't have to get ugly. But these other young men was saying other stuff and being foul with their language. And then they said something about church. And I kind of stepped back and I said, you go to church? Yeah, we go to church. What church you go to? Well, this one young man spoke up and said he was a Baptist. I said, well, really? Another spoke up and said he was a Presbyterian. I could tell he's kind of quiet. but anyway, he said he went to a Presbyterian church. And another guy said that he went to a Baptist church. Well, one of the gentlemen was real quiet. He didn't say very much. And I just felt like his demeanor, the way he acted, that, I mean, he was shy. And I felt like maybe he was true blue. I don't know that. Can't tell that by actions. But, you know, you can tell some people that just don't say a whole lot. And they spoke up and said that he was a singer at church and said he can really sing. And they tried to get him to sing. He wouldn't do it. But anyway, the other two young men, I was talking to them and began to talk about the church they went to. And they started talking about some things at church. And I mentioned reading the Bible. I said, you guys ever study the Bible. You read a whole lot. And the one young man spoke up and said, I can't read. I said, excuse me? And he said, I can't read. He had some problems whenever he was a child, and they thought he was retarded for many years, and he couldn't read. And now the doctors, I guess in his mid-teenage years or something, found out what was wrong with him. They did some surgery, and they got his blood flow like it should have been. Anyway, he's able to comprehend and live life. And I mean, he's got a job, but he said he couldn't read. And I said, you going to let that stop you? He said, well, I got a Bible app on my phone. I said, well, that's good. I'm glad you got a Bible app on your phone. I said, you're going to let that stop you. Now that God has touched you and you're able to read, you're able to have a job. I said, why are you not spending time reading His Word? And I just tried to help him. Amen. You say that you go to church. You never told me that you were saved. And the other guy, the Presbyterian guy, he wandered off. He didn't want to have a whole lot to do with me. So I'm just saying, a lot of times people say that they're saved, they base that on their works. So when somebody tells you, you're witnessing to them, talking to them about their soul, that's a soul weighing in the balance. And God has allowed our paths to cross. And we're to be bold. And we're to be wise. Be careful. You know, don't pick fights. And don't be mean and cruel. And don't debate the Bible. I don't do that. And God never told us to debate the Bible. If they're going to reject it, just move on. Dust your feet off and move on. But if they want to know, it's our responsibility to help them. And so whenever you talk to them about their soul, and they said, yeah, I'm saved. So, well, tell me about your salvation and find out. Tell me about your salvation. When did you get saved? How did it happen? Give me some testimony there. Tell me what went on. And so that way we can deal with them and help them to realize it's in Jesus Christ alone. All right. I hope all this is a help to you. I want you to see that. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. The rest that God gives us. We rest in the finished work of Calvary. Christ finished that work. And God said on the seventh day, the Sabbath day was a day of rest. It's hallowed, set aside, sanctified. And you and I, once we're saved, we enter into that rest. The sanctified, set aside, holy. Amen. God has got something for us. And it certainly ain't in this world. Amen. It's on the other side. Hallelujah. And we rest in our salvation that God has saved us because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that finished work, and all that God's done preparing, putting together that salvation and that rest for us. All right. So don't be uncertain. Don't be trying to work your way, keep yourself saved, and working yourself to get into heaven. It don't work that way. We're to enter into the rest that God's given us. That rest does not mean rest from doing anything and being lazy. That's not what it's talking about. We don't work our way into salvation, but we do work after salvation, and that is to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't share your faith with someone else if you're not resting in that rest. I hope that makes sense to you. You can't share with somebody else what God's done for you and what God's going to do for you in your salvation. Because it's not in works, it's on the finished work of Christ. And you got that settled in your soul. You can't share that with somebody else until you have it settled in your heart. All right? I hope that's a help to you. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. All right? There is a rest for God's people. So let us labor to enter into it. All right? That's another let us. Lord willing, maybe Sunday night I'll have another let us. But anyway, you pray one for another and pray the Lord to help us to be an example to others and share the good news of the gospel. Amen. Salvation is it's a rest, and it's in Jesus Christ alone and nothing else. What a tremendous blessing. Amen. Glad I don't have to try to pay my way in. I don't have to work my way in. I just trust in the finished work of Christ. Thank God that that's all it takes. Amen.